This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. Hey, listeners, host Matthew here. We have a live show coming up in Seattle on Sunday, November 6th, and it's at Barboza on Capitol Hill. It's a great venue, and it is also an awesome lineup. We have hilarious stand-up comedian Alicia Sanchez. We have hilarious podcast Sexual Awaken Baking, and for some reason, also us. Tickets are on sale now at bit.ly/smbarboza. That's bit.ly/smbarboza.
This episode is brought to you by the Entertainment Coupon Book.
The Entertainment Coupon Book is that big block of a coupon book that is packed with coupons for stuff in your community that you actually use.
Yep, restaurants, shopping, various attractions, like me and Matthew.
Oh, we are varied attractions.
Zoos, golf, movie tickets, travel, and more.
And now you don't have to buy the brick of coupons because you can use the Entertainment Digital Membership. You can print coupons online or redeem them right on your phone.
And as a special offer to our listeners, you can get 25% off an annual digital membership that's usually $19.99 a year.
So visit savingonthego.com/spilledmilk. That's savingonthego.com/spilledmilk and use the promo code MILK at checkout. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about peppercorns.
And when we say peppercorns, do we just...
We are so excited.
Do we just mean pepper?
I think we do mean... I mean, we mean...
We mean, like, the peppers that you can grind, not the
not like chilies. Not like chili peppers, not like poblanos, not like... shishitos.
But really, now that I say that,
you can
grind anything.
I'm like the guy on Best in Show, pistachio.
Oh, I thought you were like Rob Schneider.
Pine nut. Red pistachio nut.
Have I mentioned
Brazil
on the show?
Nut.
All right, I quit.
Go on.
You're listening to Nut Talk, a show where one person wants to talk about nuts and the other doesn't. You're listening to The Nut List. You sounded like one of those North Korean number stations that you get on shortwave radio that's just reading out codes. Just pretend, yes and me right past this and into the next thing.
Hey, have you seen that YouTube video, The Count Censored?
Yes, you sent it to me and said you must watch this.
You didn't think it was as funny as I did?
I did think it was funny.
Oh my God, I think it's the best thing ever. Sorry.
We'll post a link to a thing where a count seems to be... No,
it's
not
the Count of Monte Cristo. Yes, he's making sandwiches.
Yes, where Count Dooku from the Star Wars Menace or whatever that movie was called, where the Count from Sesame Street appears to be singing "When I'm Alone, I Fuck Myself." Spoiler alert. Okay, so that's what was so funny about that. What,
oh my God.
Have we gotten anywhere with this yet?
No. Let's go down the old memory lane of pepper/peppercorns.
I don't think. Okay, no, I do have a Pepper Memory Lane story, but it's not like exactly. You'll see. So, I mean, I certainly had black pepper.
That's an amazing setup there. Your setup is getting tiresome.
Shut up. This is not sprockets.
God, I'm the worst.
Your
setup
up?
Has grown tiresome.
is now time on Spilled Milk when we dance? I remember my mother explaining to me at a young age, like this, I'm not sure if this is a story I ever wanted to hear from my mother, but that probably we were at a restaurant, the kind of restaurant where a waiter would come around with a pepper grinder and and
one of the giant
menace
ones.
You with it.
Yes.
And she told me in like a nudge sort of way that sometimes those big pepper grinders are called Rubirosas. And it's named for an international playboy named Porfirio Rubirosa. To quote Wikipedia, his reputedly larger than average penis size inspired Parisian waiters to name gigantic pepper mills Rubirosas.
I've never heard this.
I remembered this when we said we were going to do a peppercorn episode. I'm like, I think this might be just some joke that my mom made up and like I'm going to Google it and get nothing. No. It was right away.
So did you know what the word Rubirosa referred to? Because I wouldn't have until you just told me.
Well, I did in the sense that she explained the whole thing to me.
Ah, so you had to talk about...
Oh, no, she didn't just say they're called Rubirosa. She said they're called that because...
Oh, boy.
I made a really, like, you know, Italian playboy sort of hand gesture there.
That's
almost
what Italian playboys do? They, like, wave their hands around in the air?
I'm going to say yes,
Italian
they do.
Italian playboys love jazz hands.
Speaking as an Italian playboy, I think I'm a little more qualified to talk about what Italian playboys do and don't do. We carry pepper grinders around in our pants, and we gesture and knock things over.
Okay.
And you love us for
okay,
it.
Okay, so is this your memory lane?
That's my memory lane.
Did my mom tell me a dirty joke
about pepper grinders.
Did you like pepper as a child?
I don't think I had a strong opinion about it one way or another. I don't remember there ever being a time when I was like, I got to get me some of this. It's loaded with pepper. But at the same time, I wasn't like, don't put any pepper on that. I mean, if a waiter came around with a big ass pepper grinder, I would say sure.
So as a child, I think my relationship to pepper was a pretty typical one in that I was scared of it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, well, I think a lot of kids just don't want anything on their food. And I think you were probably a little bit one of these children, Matthew.
Yeah, and actually, I remember my kid once convincing me to pick individual grains of pepper off of something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I have seen a child, not my own, but a child.
I have also seen a child. Aren't they adorable?
I have seen a child.
Like a special proclamation.
Yes.
you've seen the one.
Mr. Anderson.
What is that?
Neo from The Matrix. Oh. Is that what you
Yes, yes. Okay, wait. Sorry. Let's pretend I've seen that movie in the last 18 years.
Okay. Anyway, basically, I have seen a kid like have a piece of chicken or something presented to them and refuse to eat it because there's pepper on the skin.
But that's more like a visual thing.
That
I
is
think.
A visual thing. Pepper, in my experience, most of the time, the way that we use it and the way that it is provided to us, at least in the U.S., it doesn't taste like much.
Oh, hot take. Or in this case, not
like,
hot take.
Most of the time, it comes to us in pre-ground up form in a little shaker.
That is true.
And it just kind of is like dust. I always use pepper on my eggs.
Okay.
Always. But I can't say that it tastes like much. I do like pepper on a salad, but I almost never think to do it. And you know what? Can I just rant for a second?
I think you already are.
I think that this is getting better, but for a long time, pretty much every savory recipe called for salt and pepper to taste.
I knew you were going to talk
about this. Like, where there should be... So salt belongs everywhere.
Yes.
All over my body.
Uh-huh. Like a salt... you give yourself a salt rub and then like salt crust... roast yourself in a salt crust?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Salt belongs everywhere. It brings out the flavor. That is what it does. Pepper does not belong everywhere. So why for so long have people put salt and pepper on tables, salt and pepper in recipes? It doesn't belong everywhere.
Yeah, what we should be putting in everything is smoked paprika.
That was from the baked beans episode.
It's okay. Everyone listened to that episode.
Oh.
Do you have a theory for, like, how this came to be, why there has to be a second condiment?
No, I don't. I mean, isn't salt enough, people?
Well, and in fact—
Isn't it enough for
you? When
you
said eggs, sometimes I like ground pepper on a fried egg, sometimes not. Like, I feel like if I'm going to top fried rice— Here's my thing. I do not like the combination of black pepper and dried chilies very much.
Gosh, I haven't even thought about it.
Like, seasoning something with both, like, red pepper flakes and black pepper feels wrong to me and tastes wrong to me.
I have to say that I think the majority of the time that that black pepper is being used, I hardly even taste it.
So this is turning into a We Hate Pepper episode?
It is turning into a We Hate Pepper episode.
We're having a pepper episode. Let's try and hone our message here.
Because
I think everybody listening thinks we're nuts because everyone likes black pepper. And I do too. Maybe what we're trying to say is that if you're going to put black pepper in something, you know,
let's be intentional about it.
Yeah, let's bring some intentionality back into our unthinking lives. Speaking for myself, my life is basically I just like bounce around from thing to thing, committing crimes.
Yeah.
You know, knocking things over with my Italian hand gestures.
Yeah.
Like doing Italian Playboy stuff.
It seems like what you're saying is you are Donald Trump.
It did start to seem like that. That's what I was saying. I'd like to maybe backpedal from that a little bit. I'm not sure why.
I can't imagine why. Okay, well, anyway, there's nothing funnier than politics. So let's move right back to peppercorns.
Okay.
Hey, so I think what you're saying is we should talk about things where black pepper plays a significant part in the flavor and the whole point of the dish.
Yes.
Let's do that.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So may I start?
No.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
I would like to start with that old Roman specialty, cacio e pepe.
Oh, speaking as an Italian playboy, no one knows more about cacio e pepe than me.
Okay, go right ahead.
No, I don't actually know much about it. Go ahead.
Okay, so I make mine with spaghetti. Is that traditional?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, basically, it's good. It is a very, very simple pasta dish that involves pecorino.
Cheezo.
Pecorino Romano. Uh-huh. I was struggling for a second being like, it's not Pecorino Toscano. Pecorino Romano and cracked black pepper. And basically you kind of, you know, it is this difficult alchemy where you are taking these three ingredients and trying to make something sort of creamy and saucy out of them.
Yes.
So there's this fine sort of this delicate balance you walk between using a little bit of pasta cooking water to sort of turn the cheese into a sauce, getting it all swirled and coated around the noodles. And then you've got black pepper in there. Anyway, it's tangy, it's salty, it's got a good amount of pepper, it's delicious, it's very easy and very difficult.
Wow.
I love it.
There were so many Italian
Playboy hand gestures.
You learned from the best. Mm-hmm. I don't know when the last time I made this was.
I do.
You know when the last time I made this? Okay, when was it?
No, I made it. I've made it like twice in the past 6 months or so.
Will you make it for me? Because I think I would get it wrong on the first couple tries and I want to eat yours.
I actually would like to make it and write about it again because I wrote about it years and years ago. And the recipe that I used then was from Gourmet Magazine. If you look up this recipe on my blog, it's not the way I do it today. The way I do it today is this recipe that a reader sent to me. And it's apparently how Sophia Loren used to make it.
By God,
if Sophia Loren made it this way, I'm going to make it this way. But basically, it's very easy.
Sophia Loren
and very difficult.
You know, every Italian playboy wants to meet Sophia Loren. Is she still alive?
Can't remember.
Okay, I can't remember either, but let's say she is.
Yeah. Anyway, cacio e pepe, a beautiful use of black pepper.
Here's what I'm trying to say. If you're with an Italian playboy in like a romantic sense, he's probably thinking about Sophia Loren and her cacio e pepe.
I think he's probably actually just really thinking about cacio e pepe.
Yeah, probably.
That's what I'm thinking about most of the time. Like, if we are ever out together and you're like, I wonder what Molly's thinking right now, I'm thinking about cacio e pepe.
That is what I figured. Mm-hmm. So, Good. I'm gonna say another pasta thing. I feel like I should come up with something else since I'm gonna name a pasta dish that is not that different from yours. Do you know pasta alla Gricia?
You have made it for me, and it was delicious.
I think most traditionally guanciale, like cured pork jowl, but like, you know, you can use a pancetta or a what's the other one? Anyway, a bacon, and it's
a
like
bacon. You can use a bacon. I'm sorry. This is the worst show we've ever done.
We have listeners in Italy. We used to have listeners in Italy.
I'm so sad that they're gone now.
Yeah. And it's a dish of like, you know, pecorino cheese, onions, some kind of cured pork, and lots of black pepper. And a similar one is Mario Batali's parsnip, pepper parsnip and pancetta pasta. I don't think that's actually what it's called. I think I improved on the original name.
But it's improved on it.
What's happening here? Do we need to start over?
I've gone off the rails. Should we start over?
No.
Okay.
Let's get this
thing back on track. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra may be the most comfortable bra you'll ever own.
Yep. I have two of them, as you all know.
Yep. And flesh? No.
Flesh.
What's?
I don't. No, it's Lori. It's your wife who has the nude one.
Oh, right.
I have a black one.
I thought you were going to say it's my wife who has the flesh.
Your wife has flesh. I have no flesh.
We all have the flesh.
I have a black one and I have a vivacious one.
Wow.
Which is like kind of raspberry colored. So yeah, I wore my vivacious one last night under a tank top that was kind of this like pale pink. And I have to say that it really gave me a very appealing shape, if I do say so myself.
Which is just one of the great things about the 24/7 t-shirt bra from Third Love. Mm-hmm. Was it comfortable?
It was super comfortable. It is smoothing, which, ladies, I mean, let's be real. A lot of us need to be a bit smoothed.
So does smoothing refer to
nips?
Yeah.
Yep. The other thing that I can say is I recently had the experience of trying a different brand of bra that basically just fell apart in my washing machine.
Really?
These Third Love bras, I have had mine for quite some time now, and they hold up so beautifully. They wash beautifully. They wear beautifully. I'm really happy with this bra. You can find this out for yourself at home,
yes,
dear listener, at very little cost to you. Matthew, take it away.
All right. You will go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk, and you will get a free trial of the 24/7 t-shirt bra. You pay just for shipping. They send it to you. You wear it. You wash it. You cut the tags off. You do what you do for 30 days. If at the end of 30 days you don't love it, send it back, and they will charge you nothing. If you do love it, just keep it, and they'll charge your card.
Wait,
it's so easy.
Can I also add, too?
Of course.
But they have half sizes.
Yes.
Which I think is really cool.
So as we said before, if you're a B plus,
yeah,
then you should give Third Love an A plus.
Yeah.
All right.
So you can go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to get started. So another place where I do sometimes use pepper very intentionally is on beef.
Uh-huh.
I think there is something about the flavor of pepper, even though I'm saying a lot of the time when I use that, I just don't really taste it that much. There is something about pepper with beef. Like, can we talk about that old staple?
Steak au poivre. That has kind of like a creamy peppercorn sauce, mm-hmm, right?
It's usually made with green peppercorns, isn't it?
Oh, maybe so.
Or is that something else?
I don't know if that's like most what it is most traditionally, but I think whenever I have had it, it was made with black peppercorns.
Okay. Okay.
But did I have it in France? I don't think so.
Don't people also sometimes crust a steak in cracked pepper?
Yeah. And I think I'm glad you mentioned cracked pepper. I'm really glad you brought up this
as
cracked
opposed to
pepper
ground
thing because
pepper.
I've been meaning to talk to you about it for a while. You get very different flavors and very different levels of like pungency out of pepper,
yes,
depending on how coarsely
and
or
I'm
finely
realizing,
you grind
actually,
it.
You know what? Hold on. My whole approach to this episode is about to get more nuanced.
Wait, are you about to retract
I hope
your
you're
rant?
Ready. Well, I'm going to retract
you haven't
it
even
a little bit, which
seen
is
seen the Twitter backlash.
So
yet.
I was given this pepper mill. It's a
Peugeot?
No.
Unicorn Magnum?
What is the company that makes the enameled cast iron that
Le Creuset.
It's a Le Creuset. It's a Le Creuset Peppermill, and I was given it by Sever Magazine as like a, an award for like winning an award thing.
Right.
But anyway, and I use it because it feels nice. I think it's actually kind of ugly. But anyway, I use it because it feels nice. However, it's really hard to get a coarsely cracked pepper out of it. It's almost always this fine dust. So for the past couple of years, I have been using it and getting mostly a fine dust. And I think that's maybe why I'm feeling like I just don't taste pepper.
Yeah. See, I think the more finely ground the pepper is, the more one-dimensional the flavor
is. Yes. Oh my God. I'm learning things from this show.
So Molly would like to apologize if anyone was offended by her rant.
When I said that I don't usually taste pepper, what I meant is that I have no palate and you should not pay attention to me.
So I have the Unicorn Magnum.
Well, you don't say. Will you show? Oh, you know what? That is the same. I'm looking at it on your counter. It's the same peppermill we use at Delancey, and it is a great peppermill.
It's so great. It's plastic, which seems like it could be kind of junky, but it has a great mechanism that is very easy to adjust to different grinds, and it grinds really fast. It's not very easy to fill, which is annoying, but other than that, it's great.
Yes, yes. So we'll link to that on our on our website.
Spell you know, Dog Podcast.
I should also say, so I have had two... It's spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Thanks.
I have had two peppermills in my adult life.
Yeah.
One was this Le Creuset one, and one was made by Perfex. They make these like really heavy... like stainless steel type.
Yeah, I think I know what
and
you
it's
mean.
It's got a crank on top. You have to use two hands. You use one hand to hold it and the other hand to kind of turn this crank.
Mm.
I have to say... it just felt like a lot of work. There was always a whole bunch of like jerking and.
Wait, are
I
you
got
saying?
Rid of it.
Are you saying that most pepper mills you can do with one hand?
No, no, that would be like a push button pepper.
Or like the squeezy kind. You know the kind that
yes.
looks like has rabbit ears.
But
I
there
don't
was
think
something about
well.
This one. It was just so difficult. Like I was constantly afraid I was going to like knock over some glasses or something because there was so much like torque required.
And you got rid of it years ago. But apparently it's still weighing heavily on your mind.
It's like that.
Do you dream about
it? It's like that Zen story, like, my son, why are you still carrying that mean woman? I put her down 2 hours ago.
I've never been more confused in the history of this show. But I guess that's the whole point of a Zen koan, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically... I'm not going to explain this.
Oh, if you can explain it, it's
you know,
not
it's
truly
from,
Zen.
Where I learned about it was from the children's book Zen Shorts.
Oh, with the panda on
with
it?
The panda
okay.
on it. It's got this story in there. It's basically like about letting things go.
Oh. So, you need to let that pepper
let it
melt.
Go.
Oh, boy.
Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go.
Let it go.
Turn away and slam.
Do you know that song in French? Libéré, délivré, je ne mentirai plus jamais.
Oh, are you joking?
Of course not. You think I improvised that?
Wait a minute,
that?
Where did you learn this?
Okay. When that movie came out, The Frozens.
The Frozen.
A movie about how you have to get home really quickly after you've bought a bunch of stuff from the freezer case and like all the mishaps you get into. My daughter Iris and I went online and found as many different language versions of the song as we could, which was super fun.
Wow. Okay.
And so I remember a little of the Japanese one and a little of the French one and none
will
of the other ones.
Will you sing a little bit of the Japanese one?
Ari no, mama no. Hikari abinagara.
Wow, this is so moving.
Kaze o fuke, skoshi mo samuku nai wa. I'm so glad we didn't have to spend a whole episode talking about peppercorns because, boy, is that fucking boring.
Hold on. I have another rant. I have a fiery rant coming up. I hate pink peppercorns. I hate them. Like, they ruin food for me. People, why do you put pink peppercorns in stuff? They just taste weird.
So,
like, I refuse to taste that. I might smell it, but I will taste it for the rest of the day.
I learned while
you eat it.
While researching this episode, that it is alleged, and it seems to be probably true, that pink peppercorns are kind of poisonous.
That must explain why I don't like them. Self-protection.
Like, you know, in that you shouldn't eat a whole lot of them, that kind of poisonous.
Oh, okay.
But I'm still going to try this. Yuck! This is terrible.
Doesn't it taste horrible?
This must be a thing that is used only for its color, right?
Eat a black one instead. Let's see. Or, I mean, is it just that you're crunching on a naked peppercorn and that's just gross? Ooh. Or is it that the pink ones are genuinely gross?
It's the pink ones are genuinely gross because this black one is good.
Like, how would you describe the horror that is a pink peppercorn? They are so bad.
Okay, I'm going to need to do it again. Oh, the black one's good, and that's why I put the half-chewed black peppercorn onto the table.
What is that flavor? Because it is offensive to me.
It's like, ooh, the black one's really, like, spicing up my mouth. You know, it's bitter, but, you know, bitter can be good. It's like fetid, kind of. Like you're eating a peppercorn while, like, smelling a
garbage.
Dump, a garbage dump. It, you know, it tastes
smelling
like
a garbage.
You're smelling a garbage.
A garbage
that is full of
with the bacon,
full of the frozens you had to throw out because you didn't get home in time. I mean,
wait a minute, did I talk about a bacon on a different episode?
I think it was this one, probably.
Okay.
Because I said a pancetta, a bacon. Have you anytime recently like brought home something frozen or refrigerated and forgot to put it away and like find it the next day and you get all upset with yourself?
I did bring home some leftovers from Din Tai Fung the other day and I balanced them on like the sort of like railing as you go up to my front door. And then I went into the house and forgot about them and found them like blown over into my yard like 2 days later.
Oh, wow. Like a garbage.
Like...
I'm gonna say I would actually not recommend crunching a whole black peppercorn. It's pretty intense.
So do you agree with me that pink peppercorns are really bad? Like, why do people use these? They're horrible.
Okay, well, I think the only reason
they taste like a garbage.
Oh boy, there's gonna be a lot of coughing.
Drink some water.
Okay.
Do you need milk?
Mm. Would you give me some warm milk? I think the only reason that the pink peppercorns exist, perhaps, I'm sure there's like some dish where they would be traditionally used, but I don't know by whom. It's to like make a four peppercorn blend so you can like put a picture of it in the Williams-Sonoma catalog and say, look, you know, look how festive this looks. It's got red and green peppercorns in it, even though you didn't want that.
Now, I think you're onto something here because the last time I ate pink peppercorns was at my mother's house and she had this clear pepper mill, like a little fiberglass pepper mill.
There were shards of fiberglass in every dish.
Now, it was a plexiglass pepper mill, so it was clear. And she loaded it up with the like four color pepper blend.
Yep.
And I ground it on my scrambled eggs and couldn't eat them
because
of the taste of a garbage.
Having said that. I kind of feel like overusing white pepper is similarly unpleasant.
You know, I have not used or seen white pepper in a long time.
Well, you're seeing it now.
You're eating it.
No, it's fine.
What about green peppercorns? What's the story with those?
So I know very little about dried green peppercorns, except that the white pepper, the black pepper, and the green pepper are all the same plant, just processed in different ways. And please don't ask me like to explain how each one is processed.
Oh, okay.
So they all, you know, they don't taste the same, but they all share a lot of flavor tones. Flavor tones? Are you on? The pink peppercorn is a totally different plant, which why it tastes like the garbage.
It's not the garbage.
So in Thai cooking,
different article.
What?
It's a definite article, not an indefinite one.
I thought I said the garbage.
It's a garbage. A garbage.
Anyway, in Thai cooking, fresh green peppercorns are frequently used, especially in curries. And you'll get like a little sprig of fresh green peppercorns, and they are so delicious.
Really?
I almost never see them for sale in Seattle. Every once in a while, I'll find them like at a Vietnamese grocery, but they are so good. Like, you know, they've got the pungency of a black pepper, but fresh tasting.
Oh, kind of like using fresh chilies in cooking. It's just a whole different beast.
Yeah, it's a side of the peppercorn that you may have never met. Join us. Join us.
But which side? Because they're round.
That's a good point. The inside. You've never gotten to know them so well that you see what's on the inside.
I'm going to get intimate with my peppercorns. I want to see what's on the inside.
Well, we can smash one. I brought out the smasher and we haven't even used it. Oh, that was very satisfying.
Wow, there's a lot going on in there. Can I look at it closely?
Yeah, and don't mess it up because I want to take a picture of how it split into like a flower.
There's like a lot going on in there. I think we tend to think it's just this like little black thing that.
No, it's a fruit. It's a seed.
Wow, it's kind of cool.
Molly, I understand there's a cocktail that you make with pepper.
I'm not ready for that
yet. God damn it.
In my first book, I had a recipe for a vanilla ice cream with black pepper in it.
Oh, it's not the fennel ice cream? That's different?
That's different.
Okay.
This was a vanilla ice cream with that you steep with black pepper in it. And so you wind up getting like the sweetness from the vanilla on the front of your tongue, and then you swallow and you get this kind of slow burn.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. I first had it at Mallard Ice Cream in Bellingham and then came home and tried to figure out how to make it. So anyway, that's in my first book. And then my friend Ben taught me about this kind of crazy cocktail. I mean, it's hardly a cocktail. It has like one type of alcohol in it.
Yeah, I think that's not a cocktail.
Gin. Although you can do a vermouth rinse, and okay. I think I would do that. It's like a weird version of a martini here. It is a really icy cold gin, a smashed garlic clove.
Oh.
Peeled and kind of just gently smashed. You don't want it to fall apart.
This is sounding like dinner.
And and some cracked black pepper. So basically, you could make a martini and float a garlic clove in there and some cracked black pepper, and it's actually really delicious.
I am finding this very unconvincing, but I would be willing to try it on your recommendation.
Okay, cool. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra might be the most comfortable bra you'll ever own.
It's made out of super soft memory foam. It makes you look good. It feels good. What is not to love?
And you can get a 30-day free trial by going to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. If you love it, keep it and they'll charge your card. If you don't, send it back and they'll charge you nada.
Woohoo! So start your free trial now at thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
Do we have anything else to say? Do you have another rant for us, perhaps?
Nope. No more rants today. Nope.
Okay. Nope. Could I provoke you into a rant?
No.
Okay. Could I try?
No.
You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where you can get upset with us for everything that happened on this episode.
Yeah. And actually, would you weigh in and tell us how you feel about pink peppercorns? Because I always thought it was just me.
No, maybe we're missing something.
I'm heartened to find that Matthew also finds them revolting. I want to hear from the people.
And I should be clear. I have no problem with the color pink. I wear pink shorts all the time.
I love the color pink. I've really come around to it.
And I also have no problem with the color purple. It's a great American novel.
Alice Walker. I mean,
great.
Oh God.
All right. And you can leave us a review on iTunes, but maybe skip this episode. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. It's a garbage of podcasts.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hamster Burton. Oh, it's huge. It's the biggest thing since cupcakes, I guess.
Great.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.